the Brittany Hughes Show, and the craziness never stops. So apparently, three middle school boys in Wisconsin have been charged with sexual harassment for allegedly misgendering a fellow student at their school.
Keele middle school boys are facing district charges of sexual harassment. The district investigating the eighth graders for mispronouncing a classmate's pronouns.
You don't get more wackadoodle than this. Honestly, this story, when I first read this, I didn't believe that it was a joke, because we have gotten to this point in 2022 where stuff like this absolutely does happen. But the fact that we have gotten to this point, I think, will never cease to absolutely amaze me, no matter how far we go. So check this story out if you haven't already heard it. So three boys are headed to court in Wisconsin after their middle school principal filed Title IX sexual harassment charges against them because they misgendered a fellow student. So apparently this is a student that doesn't identify with whatever gender they were actually born as. And these three boys refused to acknowledge this person's new pronouns. And that's gotten them slapped with sexual harassment charges.
According to Rose Rabideau, the district said her son wasn't using the pronouns they, them when referring to a classmate, a violation of Title IX. A section of that law prohibits gender-based harassment in the form of name-calling on the basis of sex. Rabideau says the classmate announced those preferred pronouns earlier this year.
In middle school. So this happened at Keele Middle School in Wisconsin. And so apparently the story goes like this. There was one student, all three of them boys, one student declined to use the pronouns that another student had decided to go by. So this non-binary or whatever student that decided to use different pronouns apparently switched to they, them pronouns about a month before all of this happened. Let's deal with that for 2 seconds. So neither one of these things is okay. Let's go ahead and preface this. If you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, if you're a woman. If you were born a boy, you're a boy. If you were born a girl, you're a girl. There is no switching those two things. There is no swapping back and forth. You are what you are, and it's not hard to figure out what you are, and you can't change that no matter what you do. So there's that. There is no he to she and she to he. But I think the they, them bothers me more than anything. Maybe it's because I'm an English major. I don't know. But they, them, let's just get this straight. They, them is not a gender pronoun. It's not even a non-binary, non-gendered pronoun. They, them is a plural pronoun. So unless you identify as multiple people, which is a whole other disorder in and of itself that needs like a completely other set of medical attention, if you identify as non-binary or non-gender, if you don't think you're a he or a she or whatever, you're still not a they, them. That's a plural pronoun. So apparently there was one boy that declined to use the they, them pronouns. His mother said that he was confused about why this person wanted to be called they, them. I'm with you, brother. I don't get that either. That's not even grammatically correct, much less biologically correct. The other two kids stood up for him after he started getting bullied for not using this person's preferred pronouns. Because again, now the victimhood is all about the student or the person that wants to use different pronouns. They are the preferred victim. So it's okay to bully somebody who doesn't want to use those pronouns, who doesn't agree with that, who has completely different beliefs. It's okay to bully that person, but you can't do anything that could possibly be perceived as bullying the person who uses alternate pronouns. Weird how that works. See, the left and the people that subscribe to this ideology, they are totally okay with bullying as long as their preferred victim isn't the one getting bullied. So these other two boys stood up for him, and now all three of them have been slapped by this principal with sexual harassment charges and have to go to court to defend themselves because they declined to use proper genders. So here's one mom talking about how she found out that her son had been hit with sexual harassment charges in an email that she got after the fact. Check this out.
I received a phone call from the principal over at the elementary school forewarning me, letting me know that I was going to be receiving an email with sexual harassment allegations against my son.
Okay, so imagine that. You're a mom and you get an email saying that your middle school son is being charged with sexual harassment. You haven't been notified about this beforehand. You weren't called in. This is the first time that you're hearing about this. And this is a massive charge. This is not a joke. As ridiculous as this story might be, and as much as we might laugh ironically at it just because it's so incredibly bizarre that this is even happening, this is very much not funny. So let's deal with, first of all, Title IX. So Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972 prohibits sex discrimination in any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. That's what Title IX originally was back in 1972. Again, this is meant to deal with school systems and schools themselves to keep them from differentiating or to keep them from discriminating against girls and boys, and making sure that they treat girls and boys equally, that you cannot discriminate based on sex. So that was expanded to include sexual orientation and gender identity under the Biden administration back in 2021. So again, total deviation from what this was meant to be when it was first written back in 1972, when I guarantee to you they were not concerning themselves with gender identity, because that by and large wasn't a thing. So what was initially meant to essentially protect girls against discrimination has now been morphed into this vague, you know, policy where you can't discriminate against anybody based on their sexual orientation or their gender identity, which apparently means that you can now level sexual harassment charges against middle school boys because they won't kowtow to somebody's preferred pronouns. This is the crazy part. So the sexual harassment charges, I think, is what really just goes above and beyond. First of all, nobody should be forced to use pronouns that are against what they believe about the way that the world works. There's no reason why middle school students should be penalized at all because they decline to switch somebody's pronouns based on what that person feels like that week. So I don't know. By the way, just caveat here. I don't know how it was back when you were in school. I went to high school back in the early 2000s. I'm dating myself, I know. The thing back then, and I will never forget it. It was totally trendy. The thing back then, especially among girls, was to claim that you were bisexual. That was, I don't know when that became in vogue, but that was the popular thing back in the early 2000s at my high school. If you were a girl and you wanted to be trendy or you wanted to, you know, seem cool or whatever, you claimed that you were bisexual. I don't know if it was some weird juvenile attempt to impress guys. I don't know if it was because you wanted to seem more worldly or more open-minded or whatever, but that was the thing. I can name a dozen girls from my high school, at least off the top of my head, that I can remember that would have told you back at 16, 17 years old in high school that they were bisexual because they thought that that was cool. You know how many of them actually went on to have a relationship with another female? Even dating another woman in high school or in college, much less marrying one of them later in life. You know how many of them went on to have an actual relationship with another female? Not a single one. Not one. Because it was a fad. It was a trendy thing that was popular at the time that girls did to seem cool at the time. And when one of them did it, another one wanted to do it. And then three more wanted to do it. Because that's what you do when you're in middle school and in high school. You glom on to whatever is a popular trend at the time. That is why it is so incredibly dangerous that schools and school systems are going down this road of allowing students to just determine whatever they want to be whenever they want to change it, and actually validating that with school policies and with moves like this, where you're actually charging three students with sexual harassment charges because you've decided that young people can now make these determinations. We've just completely thrown out the understood fact that middle schoolers and high schoolers have no idea who they are, have no idea what they want. I didn't know who I was or who I wanted to be back in high school. This is why we don't allow kids to start learning to drive until they are a later teenager. This is why we don't let them buy cigarettes or alcohol. There are certain decisions that they do not have the mental capacity to make. That doesn't make them stupid. That doesn't mean they're not valuable. That doesn't mean that they can't contribute to society. It doesn't, if you're a high schooler who is listening to this, it doesn't undermine you as a person or make you less valuable or make your opinion less valuable. But what it does mean is that you are still growing. You are still learning. And that is okay. That's what you're supposed to do in middle school. That's what you're supposed to do in high school. But we have completely jumped the shark as a society, and public schools have now adopted this idea that when a student wants to change their identity, everybody now has to go along with it. Like, that's automatically valid. And you have to start, punishing people that don't go along with this. Sexual harassment is a massively serious charge and could follow these kids for the rest of their academic careers, if not their lives.
Sexual harassment, that's rape, that's incest, that's inappropriate touching. What did my son do? You know, he's a little boy. And he told me that he was being charged with sexual harassment for not using the right pronouns.
Let me define sexual harassment as it is currently defined by the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I'm going to read this to you because this is a very serious thing. Okay. Harassment can include sexual harassment or unwelcome sexual advantages, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical harassment of a sexual nature. That is not at all what we're talking about when talking about somebody's preferred pronouns. We're talking about a majorly serious crime that involves targeting somebody in an explicitly sexual nature. Here are some of the examples provided by the United Nations of sexual harassment: actual or attempted rape or sexual assault. That's the first one. Unwanted pressure for sexual favors, unwanted deliberate touching, leaning over, cornering, or pinching, unwanted sexual looks or gestures, unwanted letters, telephone calls, or materials of a sexual nature, sexual comments about a person's clothing, anatomy, or looks, kissing sounds, howling, and smacking lips, telling lies or spreading rumors about a person's sex life. This goes on and on for several pages, by the way. You know what I couldn't find in this list? Anything about preferred pronouns. Because again, sexual harassment, regardless of what you think of using somebody's preferred pronouns, sexual harassment is a massively serious charge. And there is absolutely no reason why three middle school boys should have been charged with this simply for not using somebody's preferred pronouns. But this is apparently a thing that's not only going on in this middle school, as bizarre as this might sound. This is something that is spreading across the country. There are actually school districts that are thinking about making this a district-wide policy. Fairfax County Schools, not too far up the road from me here in Northern Virginia, is considering a district-wide policy that would label misgendering as sexual harassment. Here's from the New York Post. The Fairfax County Public School Students' Rights and Responsibilities Handbook, which will be voted on May 26th, includes in its updated version rules that make malicious dead naming and malicious misgendering of classmates a level 4 offense, which allows for suspension up to 5 days if frequency and intensity are present, according to page 19 of the document. So for those of you who don't know, dead naming is when you use the name that somebody used to go by that's on their birth certificate, and now they have switched to a different gender or whatever. It's kind of like if you called Bruce Jenner instead of Caitlyn Jenner, that's considered dead naming. And then, of course, misgendering is failing to use their preferred pronouns, of which there are infinite numbers. So we're not just talking about he, she, and even they, which again, wildly grammatically incorrect, doesn't even make sense. But we're also talking about je and je and all of those wackadoodle things that somebody can decide they want to be. And now you're on the hook to memorize all of it, and your elementary, middle school, or high school child is on the hook to memorize it if that's what somebody wants to go by. So the handbook is going to state that using slurs based upon the actual or perceived gender identity is forbidden under the rules of the document, which includes but is not limited to malicious dead naming or malicious misgendering. So let's talk about the word malicious real quick, because I find it interesting that they include this. So obviously, they're trying to avoid criticism by kind of factoring in accidents. If you oopsie misgender somebody because they've gone by Sally for like the last 3 days and they used to be Tom or whatever, and you're just kind of getting used to it and you slip up, that's not malicious misgendering. Malicious misgendering is when you do it over and over again. And the use of the word malicious here is obvious to imply bullying, to imply that you're doing this to persecute this person, to bully this person, to make this person feel targeted. I got a serious problem with this, and I'll tell you why. Oftentimes, when you hear people push back on this societal demand that we use someone's preferred pronouns, you'll often hear the defense that using correct pronouns is protected speech. I think that legally speaking, that very well may be the case, and that's an adequate defense, or at least it should be. Here's my bigger problem. I think that forcing someone to use somebody's preferred pronouns that do not correspond to that person's gender, biological gender, is also an infringement on religious freedom. My faith, my deeply held personal faith, of which I am an active practicer, tells me that God created people, male and female. He made you this way. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't an oopsie of nature. This wasn't, I just got born in the wrong body. I want to switch. I don't feel like one or the other. I feel pan or A or whatever sexual. This is not about choice. That does not mean that people cannot genuinely struggle with gender dysphoria. They need mental help. They need actual psychological help. And that help should be given to them, particularly if they are at a young age. But regardless of all of that, at the end of the day, your biology is what it is. And it's not my opinion that causes me to believe that. It's not because I'm trying to be stubborn. It's not because I'm trying to be contradictory or because I don't like woke culture and I'm going to push back on it no matter what. I have a deeply held religious belief grounded in my faith that you are what you were born as, that is who you were created to be. There is nothing wrong with your body or your biology. You were created to be exactly the way that you are. And if you're struggling with that, that's okay, because there is help for you, and there is love for you, and there is compassion for you, but your body and your biology are not wrong simply because you don't feel that that's what matches up with what you have in your head. And again, that is a deeply grounded, faith-based belief that I hold. So forcing me to use someone's preferred pronouns that go against everything that I believe about the world and the way that people were created and who they were created to be and how we were created to be and how men and women were created to function together in society. Forcing me to use someone's preferred pronouns forces me to abandon what I believe and the religious beliefs that I hold dear. And when you say malicious misgendering, what you're saying is if I continue to stand my ground for what I believe, if I continue to hold fast to what I know to be true, that's now going to be seen as malicious misgendering because I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to abandon that just because you say that I should. So now I'm going to be perceived as the bully. A student that holds to that is going to be perceived as a bully and can now be suspended for up to 5 days if the school system determines that they are willfully misgendering somebody. I believe that that is an infringement on the religious freedom of Christians and other people and other students that have faith-based reasons to hold to biological gender. And yet that's where we are in school districts across the country, in Fairfax County Public Schools. This is where we're headed. Real quick, and then we'll get back to the show. Make sure that you head over to iTunes and hit subscribe on The Brittany Hughes Show. That way you never miss an episode. Also, make sure you check out full episodes on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Rumble. And check out our podcast on Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Now back to the show. So if you didn't think that this was about targeting your kids, and I'm not talking about, you know, just including your kids or that the LGBTQ militant agenda is just to make sure that your kids feel included or to envelop everybody under this umbrella of, you know, rainbow glitter or whatever. I'm talking about intentionally targeting children for indoctrination into this garbage, specifically honing in on kids. If you thought that the story out of Wisconsin of those three boys getting slapped with sexual harassment charges for misgendering somebody, if you thought that was bizarre, get a load of this one. So this one comes out of Washington State. This is Jen Mason. Now, Jen here is the school board director for Bellingham School, the Bellingham School District in Bellingham, Washington. So she sits on the school board in charge of making decisions for this entire public school district. Jen here also owns a local sex shop called Wink Wink Boutique, where she sells sex toys, bondage gear, lingerie, and where she also hosts classes on sex and self-pleasuring. I am so sorry I had to say that. I'm so sorry that you heard that, but hang on to your hats because it gets even crazier than this. So first of all, let's talk about this woman's little boutique that she owns. Here is her website. If you're listening to the audio podcast here, I'm going to read it to you. The front page of this woman's website says right up front, and she felt the need to put this in gigantic bold letters in case you had any questions about it. Woman owned, inclusive, all ages, not creepy sex shop. So let's deal with that for just a second, because I have so many questions and I don't really want the answers to any of them, but we're going to dive down this rabbit hole anyway. I'm not an expert on sex shops. I know that's probably shocking to those of you who have followed me for a while here. Don't really frequent them. So maybe I'm wrong. Y'all tell me. Maybe there's somebody out there more familiar with these establishments than I am. But if you have to put not creepy in front of your description for your sex shop, you're creepy as all get out. If you have to put not creepy, first of all, it suggests that you're in an industry that you know full well is creepy. And you're probably one of the worst of them. You're probably one of the worst of them if you're trying to identify yourself as not creepy. Especially when we get to the part where it says all ages. There is no such thing as an all ages appropriate sex shop. Because sex is not an all ages thing. There is no scenario, not one, full stop, in which a three-year-old needs to know about rubber male genitalia. There is no situation in which an elementary school student or a middle school student needs to be around porn or kink and fetish gear. So the idea of an all-ages, not creepy sex shop is about as oxymoronic as you can get. But that's what this woman apparently owns, an all-ages, not creepy sex shop. It gets even more weird. The woman that owns the not creepy sex shop is hosting an open mic night for LGBTQ youth of all ages, located where? You guessed it, at her sex shop. So Jen here, again, we're talking about a school board member at her local school district, which, pause for a second. I try really hard because I think that there are a lot of voices that that can contribute to local government and local elected bodies. But I have a problem with somebody that owns a local sex shop being on a school board that deals with policy for small children. I don't know that that's something that necessarily should be prohibited, because again, as a small government person, I really don't like the idea of booting people out of the public space. But does that not seem a little bit strange to you? Here's a woman that owns a sex shop where she, by the way, she holds classes too. So I'm reading straight from her website here. She's got a class coming up. Now, the date is somewhat close to the queer youth open mic night, so hopefully families don't register for the wrong event here, because this one is called Non-Monogamy for Newbies. Here's the description. Interested in opening up your relationship? Wondering how ethical non-monogamy works? That's not a thing either, by the way. It's just like an all-ages, non-creepy sex shop. Ethical non-monogamy is not a thing. Non-monogamy, not ethical. This class is for anyone who wants to learn the basics of ethical non-monogamy, whether you're in a relationship, single, or a professional working with clients. Ew. This is the woman that's on the school board. Weird. Sorry. Not sorry. Weird. And now she's opening up her store where she sells sex toys and bondage gear to children ages 0 through 18 for an open mic night for LGBTQ youth, where apparently she wants them to step up to the mic. They've got 5 minutes. They can sing a song. They can, I don't know, read a poem, do an interpretive dance, whatever it is that she thinks that they're going to do in her sex shop. So to their credit, the school district has distanced themselves from the event a little bit and said that it is not endorsing this. This is not a school event. Lord have mercy. I hope not. But even still, again, here's the other weird thing, as if we haven't already identified like 17 weird layers to this story. This is an open mic night for youth ages 0 to 18. On what planet do you think that a baby under the age of 1 is queer and wants to come to your open mic night? Not that it would be any better if you put like 5 to 18, because again, you're a freak and a weirdo, and I'm not sure why you own a sex shop, and I'm not sure why you teach the classes that you do. Again, maybe if you're like a, I don't know, this is so bizarre. Maybe if you are a certified marriage counselor and you're counseling couples how to reconnect, or obviously if you're a physician and you're talking to somebody about a physiological block that they have or whatever, I can understand how in certain qualified professions you may help somebody with their sex life, or you may help a couple with their sex life. I can kind of see how that would be valid in some cases. But this is just a woman that sells sex toys, that hosts classes on teaching people skills for how to give better oral sex. And I'm not kidding. It's on her website. That's an actual thing that she teaches. Again, sorry to say it, and I'm sorry you had to hear it. But this is who is around your kids. This is who's on your school board. This is who's inviting them to open mic nights in their sex toy shop. You need to know this. You need to understand this. We need to call this out. We need to talk about it, even if it's weird and gross and uncomfortable, because this is who wants to talk to your kids. This is who wants to indoctrinate your kids. This is who thinks it's perfectly fine to invite small children to a sex shop so that they can read poems next to the shelf full of vibrators or whatever. She claims that the kids will be physically separated from all of her whatever adult-themed paraphernalia during this two-hour event. But unless she just cleans out the shop entirely, these kids are going to be sitting next to pornographic items. What parent takes their kid to this? What wackadoodle freak adult wants to host something like this? But what parent says, heck yeah, sign my kid up? And I get that we're talking about Washington State here. I'm sure that there are some perfectly normal, lovely people in Washington State. I'm not trying to be insulting. But by and large, Washington State is weird. I mean, y'all are so liberal out there. If you were any more open-minded, your brain would fall out of your ears. It's a cesspool for the bizarre. And even still, I'm trying to wrap my mind around who takes their kid to a sex toy store to go to an event, an open mic night for LGBTQ youth. If that's something that you do, it's kind of like drag queen story hour. If you're marching your kids into a place like this, to an event like this, as far as I'm concerned, social services should come look into whether you should be, you know, a parent, whether you should have your kid taken away. And I don't say that lightly. I really, truly don't. But here's the problem that I have. We are destroying our children. Whether it's garbage like this or slapping them with sexual harassment charges because they misgendered somebody, we are destroying our children, and it's the adults that are doing that. Do not give me this bull crap about how all of a sudden all of these kids are coming out as trans or queer or whatever sexual or whatever bizarre identity they've come up with. I mean, you head over to TikTok and you can't even list the number of pronouns and weirdness that these kids are now identifying as. And you cannot tell me that that is some organic, genuine, from the heart identity that they have. You cannot tell me that. And yet we are destroying them by implementing policies that force them to go along with this nonsense. We pump them full of puberty blockers and hormone therapies and body-altering procedures to affirm this gender identity or whatever that they think that they have. And there is an adult behind every single bit of it, whether it is an adult that is affirming this child's identity and allowing them to mutilate themselves before they're even legally old enough to be trusted to buy a beer? Or mark my words, there is no way. Transgender people make up about 0.3% of the population at most. There is no way that something that rare, that something that uncommon, is now cropping up among youth like wildfire. There is no way that that is organic. Small children, particularly those in elementary school, that have these gender identities that they think that they identify as, these little girls that think they're boys, little boys that think they're girls or whatever, there is an adult behind that that planted this in their mind. Make no mistake. Whether that is some woke parent that thinks that it's going to be trendy and cool to have a non-binary child, or whether that's a parent that seized on the one time their little boy ever picked up a Barbie doll and used that to go full whole hog into this idea that, oh, he must be a girl and we'll just start transitioning him and pumping him full of the idea that he's a little girl. There is an adult behind this, and we are destroying youth. We are destroying our children, and it's the adults doing it. It's these weirdos that we have allowed into our school boards, that we've allowed into our school faculty and administration, these policies that we are allowing them to pass. Again, regardless of what you think of transgenderism in adulthood, we're talking about children here. And it's freaks like this woman in Washington, that we have allowed into these systems. And make no mistake, it is coming for your kids. If it hasn't already, it is soon coming to a school near you. Stay alert. Get on your school board. Go to your school board meetings. Get involved. Know your student's teacher. Know your student's principal. Know your student's school policies. Know this stuff and get involved, because mark my words, if you do not take control of your child's education and the culture that you're allowing your child to grow up in every single day, somebody else will. And it's weirdos like this that are doing it. Thanks for tuning into the Brittany Hughes Show. We will be back here next week. I'm really excited about it. Just to let y'all know, I am going on vacation next week, but still going to pre-film an episode and air it for you guys. We're going to be breaking down some of the biggest myths surrounding abortion. I'm really excited. I've been wanting to do this for a while now. So when leftists are pushing back on the potential overturning of Roe v. Wade, some of the biggest lies that they tell to convince you that Americans want abortion and that they need it. So we're going to be not only breaking down some of the myths, but giving you the data and the information that you need when you hear these arguments to push back on them with fact-based information. So excited about that one. Make sure that you tune in next week. Hit subscribe over on iTunes so that you don't miss an episode of The Brittany Hughes Show. Make sure that you watch full episodes on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, when you can find them, and Rumble. I will see you back here next week.